Yes, it was inevitable. Another episode of the Robcast. Hello, my friends. This is episode 367, and this episode is called Toyota School. Yeah. And I've noticed this one, I've noticed how many people want to talk about what I'm going to talk about in this episode. It's like, it's in the air. And I'm going to take you through how I first sort of found my way into this. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. Speaking of where it goes, last week I went to Iowa, and I was there for the first two nights of rehearsal for my play. The play is called We'll Get Back to You, and it's premiering in Cedar Rapids, Iowa on April 4th at the Mirror Box Theater. So I went last week, and then in a couple weeks I'm going to go back for tech rehearsal, and then I'll be there the opening weekend. It's going to run for a month, but I'll be there the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. And of course, if you're anywhere nearby, you know, would love to see you. But so last Thursday night, I mean, for the first time, we all met up at the theater, and it was all the cast, all the crew, sound design, lighting, projection, staging, script supervisor, stage manager. Shout out to Kelly, Chris and Hangy, director, Kaven, like the producers. Everybody was together in person, and God, what a moment. And then the next night, so that would have been last Friday night, was night two, and it was a rehearsal, and it was director Kristen and I and the cast and stage manager, script supervisor, a couple producers, but Kristen and I sat at the table with the six actors who are the cast, and I got to watch actors find their way into the parts. Like, if you would have said to me prior to this experience, because, like, what's good acting? Because if you're like me, you know bad acting, right? How many times have you watched something and you were like, oh my God, this acting's so bad, and you turn it off, you look away, you just can't bear it. But if I were to say to you, or someone were to ask you, yeah, okay, that was bad acting. What's the difference between good acting and bad acting? How would you describe that in a coherent way? Because I couldn't have. I'd be like, I don't know, it was believable, maybe. It seemed like, maybe it didn't seem like they were acting. Maybe bad acting is you can see that they're acting. You see what I mean? It's tricky to talk about. And yet there's this whole world of people, and I'm brand new to all this, who this is what they've been doing for years. So I got to watch and be with these actors as they're asking questions and following their curiosity. I literally got to have conversations with actors about her character, and they were telling me what happened to the character years ago as they created backstories for their character. So I was listening to people tell me about characters I created and what happened earlier events in the lives of those. Do you see how swirly, trippy, enjoyable that is? Picture me just sitting there like, oh God, I love this. And it was so fascinating to me how full-bodied it is. Like, an actor isn't, like, learning lines is almost like the last thing that happens, because there's an embodying there's an embodying that has to happen. It's as if the actor has to find the character somewhere in their own self, so that when you're watching, like, really powerful acting is such an act that it's real. You actually resonate with it. It goes so far into the made up that it actually runs into the real. And I'm telling you, watching this experience up close, God, it just... And then they were trying different scenes, and they would do it one way, then they would do it another, and then they would do it another, and then they would slow it down, speed it up. They'd like modulate their voice, higher, lower, breathier, scratching, excuse me. They would they would come into the room, they would come on stage faster, slower. So they were like, where their feet go, how they pour the glass, the cup of water, how fast they're speaking, when they pause, when they, this is, what an experience. So I was there, and then I'm going to go back in a couple weeks, because they're now going to be rehearsing straight through, and then I'm going to show up and see where the whole thing is. What? Seriously, what a ride. And then this week, we had people here for 2 days. There's two days scheduled for this year. So I don't know, I don't know if there'll be any at the end of this year. So there's two more. There's one in what month? April. And then there's one in June. So if you want to sit under the trees with me, would love to see you here. And then spaceship sessions. Here we go. I'm going to try this pop-up art show book club hang situation event. Pomona, California, April 13th, Costa Mesa, the 20th, and then I'll be in San Luis Obispo, the 27th. All the addresses, especially the San Luis Obispo and the slow one, I'll be in a parkway in between two streets outside. On a Saturday afternoon. So like the coordinates, essentially the street, what street to drive down, and then you'll just see me out in the middle of the street. All that info is at my site, along with the Where'd You Park Your Store, because I have been seeing people's wearing some Where'd You Park Your Spaceship things, and that is just about the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. So those are some things that are going on. But now, my friends, Toyota School. I hadn't really thought of several things that happened to me 28 years ago, roughly, until recently when I was talking to people, and then at the 2 days this past week, and these stories. Isn't it fascinating how a certain memory will arise in a certain moment because you're tracing back almost like the shifts in your own consciousness? Like when was that seed first planted? When did you first begin to find your way into that understanding? I'm calling this Toyota School because sometimes you just got to give something a name. But let's start here. I love Toyota 4x4s. Have I ever confessed my love for Toyotas? It runs deep. Perhaps this is the first time I've done any sort of Robcast about my love of Toyotas, but my love of Toyotas, when I trace it back, began when I was 16 and my friend Steve got a Toyota 4Runner. His had stripes down the side and he pulled his water ski boat with it and the boat matched the truck. So it was a little over the top, let's be honest. It was very 1986, if you know what I mean. But that 4Runner, his dad got him a Toyota 4Runner. I thought that was the coolest. God, I just love that truck. So I think it was then, as somewhere in adolescence, that I was like, oh, Toyota 4x4s are the best. And so for years, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, to me, like the ideal vehicle was like a Toyota Tacoma pickup. Oh, come on. That was like my own personal squad goals. And I went to college, then I went to graduate school. I got a master's degree. And while I was getting a master's degree, I was like, oh, I'm going to get a job when I'm done with this. I'll get like a full-time job, like an adult. And I remember 23, creeping up on 24. I'm going to finish my master's when I'm 25. And then I'm going to get some of you already know where this is headed. I'm going to get a job, and I'm, for the first time in my life, going to be able to afford a Toyota Tacoma pickup. I was fired up. I was like, I just want to do this work in the world. I just want to give a big generous gift, but I would also like a Toyota while we're at it. And then I graduate and I get my first job. And I got my job, in a church. Have you heard of these? And I never forget. They said, all right, you're going to be an assistant pastor. And it felt a little assistant to the regional manager, assistant to the regional manager. It felt a little bit like, wait, what? And then they said, and we're going to pay you $25,000 a year, which was my salary for a while. And I remember thinking, $25,000, okay. And just penciling out, like, oh, yeah, we're, I remember that feeling, like, yeah, we're not getting a Toyota Tacoma. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I remember Kristen and I, we could afford to eat out once a month. And it was like a really big, we'd like go to Taco Bell and be like, whoa. So they're just, and I had that like, no, we're going to be a big dude. We're going to be a big boy about all this. We're fine. We don't need material possessions to be happy, right? How many times have you said that? And yet you're like, yeah, but I probably would be happier with that. Oh, so, I continue to drive and be, watch me say this, and be grateful for my Honda. And then I'm working my job. I'm probably a year into it. And I had this friend who, he always seemed to have lots of time on his hands. And he always seemed to kind of be able to do whatever he wanted. But one day he showed up in my office and he's like, hey, I got something to show you. And he takes me out in the parking lot. And he's probably the friend I spent the most time with. He takes me out in the parking lot. And what do you think, my Robcast friend, is in the parking lot? A brand new Toyota Tacoma. And I remember, like, and he's like, check out my new wheels. And you know that thing when you're just split? You're like, I'm so happy for you. And yet, you got yourself a bad case of the jealousies. You're just, you got that warm, like, how did this schmuck get one of these? I was not in the best headspace. And it was like, man, I would love one of those. But he got one? What? Then, I don't know, a couple months later, I remember the truck was new. It was still quite new. And he would come by and we'd go to lunch and, you know, I took a ride in it, which I don't, you know, that's like punching yourself in the face. Because you're just trying so hard not to be that guy, but you're like, God, I really would like one of these. And then one day he tells me a story. He says, man, he says, my mother-in-law needed me to look after her dog. She had like one of those little dogs. You know, like my dad would call it a yapper. You'd be like, there are dogs and there are yappers, you know, like little yappers. And that's dog species, according to my dad. There are real dogs and there are yappers. So this guy, my friend, his mother-in-law had like this little fuzzy kind of yapper dog. And she asked him if he would watch it for the day. And so he's driving around running errands. And he's got this dog in his truck. And he goes in, I don't know, post office, bank, whatever. And he leaves the dog in his truck. And the dog freaks out. It's a very anxious canine anyway. But when it's left all alone in a strange car, and it not only is it not with its owner, its substitute owner for the day, like a substitute teacher, the son-in-law of the owner is gone. The dog just loses it. And poops in the cabin of the pickup truck. But it's so freaking out and it's so revved up that it starts running all over, across the dash, across the seats, across the floor, the console. It starts running around the cab of the truck. But every time it does a lap around, it steps in its own dog crap and then proceeds to put dog poop paw prints on the dash, on the top of the steering wheel, on those, the like the window where you rest your arm, on the top of the bench seat upholstery, all over the seat where you seat, all over the floor mats. This thing, I don't know how long, what he was doing or how long he left it, but apparently it covered the inside of that brand new truck with dog poop paw prints. And I remember him telling me this story, and I just wanted to get behind the wheel of a Toyota Tacoma and just drive around like I own the town. But suddenly the image of my friend, like, does he get, you just get in and sit down on the bench seat? How do you even operate a vehicle that's just been, and you're out in public. It's not like you're home and you have like cleaning supplies for car upholstery and floor mats and dashboards and stuff. And the mess and how much it took to clean it. And he's telling me this story. And I remember, and this is where Toyota school began, I realize now. I remember, even at like, how old I would have been, 25 or 26, knowing that the story was about my friend and his truck and his mother-in-law's dog that pooped all over the interior, but it was also about something else. Are you with me on this? When you encounter something so exaggerated, so extreme, so it's as if the universe is going, hey, 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 this is part of the curriculum. This is part of your curriculum. That story happened to him, but it's a gift to you. That was one of the first, it's the first time I remember some sort of sense of the boundaries dissolving. Some sense that there's no way there wasn't something as he's telling me that story that it wasn't saying to me, like, really? You'd like a Toyota Tacoma? Okay, fine. Get behind the wheel of this. There was something about the repulsion of grabbing a dog poop encased steering wheel that did, it like showed me, yeah, it was something about, yeah, you're fine. Seriously, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah, your day will come, or however you want to say it, you're fine. There was something about the jealousy and something about that story that it was weird enough and exaggerated enough and funny enough that it's almost like I, for a split second, got it. Like, oh, okay. I can kind of relax on that whole Toyota thing. You know those moments when you're like, I think I might be starting to get it. The absurdity of it. There was something about it that was like, hey, Rob Bell, pay attention. You're fine. Then, I don't know, a couple months later, I'm in our house, and I look out the front window, and a brand new Toyota Tacoma pickup truck pulls into the driveway, only this one was even nicer than the dog poop other friend's one. This is just a couple months after that happened. This incredibly nice Toyota Tacoma. It had a chrome roll bar and like extra knobby tires. So it was even like his, just even tweaked out even nicer. And I was like, wait, why did that truck just pull in our driveway? I don't know anybody who has that truck. And the door opens and out steps my sister, Ruth Bell Olson. And I open the front door and she's like, hey. And I was like, hey, is that your truck? She's like, yeah, I got a new truck. And I remember being like, oh my word, I gotta go through Toyota school again. And that truck was so badass. She's like, yeah, I've always wanted a truck. And she did. She always wanted a truck. And she's so cool anyway that her in that truck was just, she's just killing it in that truck. Then a little while later, she tells me strangest thing happened. I go out in the morning to start my new truck and it won't start. And it's a Toyota. And Toyotas are legendary. Toyotas always start. Toyotas go to like 500,000 miles. Toyotas are like legendary for the resilience. The car wouldn't start. So they had to have it towed into the Toyota dealership and they brought in the mechanic and they fixed it. And then a little while later, she goes out to start it and it won't start. So they have to go back to Toyota. They bring in extra mechanics. They radio central command. They put it through a whole series of diagnostics. They think they have it fixed. Again, it won't start. The car was such a problem in that it would start sometimes and not start sometimes, which is so strange for Toyotas, that they eventually had to invoke what's called the Lemon Law. And Lemon Law is literally a legal clause that literally the government gets involved, that if you sell somebody a car and it turns out to be classified as a lemon, meaning there's something so wrong with it that it can't be fixed, that you literally get your money back. And so my sister goes through this super frustrating process with this brand new Toyota, and eventually they have to do like a lemon law thing and just have it towed away, and she gets her money back. And I remember thinking, okay, if I didn't get it the first round, I'm starting to get it the second round. And I think about that now. That was when I first began to be aware of some other way of reading the events of my life and the events swirling around me. That I could just see them in a sort of 2D flat space-time. Things happen. Oh, look, that happened, that happened. But I could also see them speaking to me, like inviting me. Sometimes it felt like taunting me. But I could begin ever so gradually. I remember, those two rounds with two people that I was very close to, having the exact car in my head that is the dream situation not going well. Okay. There's something about, I don't know, peace, contentment. There's something about, of course, a number of years later, I actually did get a 4Runner and I loved it and it was great. And then I got another Toyota after that. And it's been like 5 years since I've had a Toyota, but I still love Toyotas. Actually, they just announced there's a new hybrid Land Cruiser coming sometime in the next year or so. I was like, ooh, all those old Toyota. But I think it was then. Yeah, I can see it now. The whole thing began to be way more interesting, and it was interesting because of how absurd it can be. It's like the whole thing going, oh, really? You think you'd be happy if you had one of these? Okay, how about this one? How about this one filled with dog poop paw prints? Yeah, oh, really? You think your life would be way better? Okay, how about this one? You don't know when it's going to start. Yeah, you think your life would be way better with this hassle? And it's like you ever so gradually tune in to some odd, what would you call it? School? Curriculum? If you can move your life in your psyche, in your consciousness, in your heart, in the way you understand and apprehend your life as it unfolds, if you can move it from just a series of fragments, separate bits and events that often appear unrelated, if you can move it to a coherent curriculum, if you can move from you as a separate self over and against everything unfolding around you, if you can move to you as part of it, there's you having an experience, and then there's the universe having an experience of you. And that's the giant shift, that's the cosmic move that can reframe everything, especially, and this is what I've noticed how many people are moving from, there are just these random bits and pieces and fragments, these whatever, binaries, dualities. There's me over here and there's everything else over here. There's me and then there's the pain, the loss, the event, the sadness. There's the conflict. There's me and there's all this other stuff, and it's just me against it, trying to get through it, trying to survive, trying to carry on. If you can move to the whole thing as having an experience, we are the experience it's having, then you can begin, especially in those moments, and that's what I've noticed, is how many people are beginning to say, oh, there's some other way to read this. But then what happens is you have very, very, very painful things that, don't tell me that's a school. I don't want to go to that school. So there's actually two things I can see now that began to happen to me. Because I didn't come from a place where you didn't feel the feels, you just kept going. But I can see now, especially over the past year, that whatever the experience is, if it's sadness, grief, loss, you have to feel all that and let it pass through you. Yeah, so there are these two things that are happening. You're giving your response to whatever it is, the expression that it asks for without judgment. If you're sad, you're sad. If you don't know why you're sad and you're sad, you're still sad. So it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter whether you know why you're sad or not. You're sad. There's a malaise. Something feels broken. You're spinning, lost. Yeah. The mind checked out a while ago. That's fine. Yeah, you let that pass through you. Yeah, you feel that. And then also, and sometimes it takes a while, you're also paying attention to it because you know there's something in it for you. And you're doing both sometimes at the same time. How would you even say it? Feeling all the feels? there's that. And then there's, what is this? What has this come to show me? How has this come to shape me? Yeah. And if you practice this, eventually the whole thing, you begin to feel a way broader bandwidth of emotion, and you begin to laugh a lot more. It's almost like you're in on the joke of your own existence. But to get there means there are moments when it doesn't feel like a joke. It's like real, and it like hurts, and so you let it hurt. Yeah, and you let it, like a wave, just hold you down. Yeah, you have to. It's the only way it works. Yeah, it's like these parallel tracks is you let whatever it's evoking and provoking in you, you give it the expression it's asking for, you give it the silence, the space, the tears, the shaking your fists like tiny little antennas at the heavens, and you're also inquiring, what is this? Especially the things that come out of nowhere that are so absurd, they're so bizarre, they're so like technicolor weird, you're like listening. Or the thing that happens multiple times, whew, or the character in your life who's so irritating and annoying, yet they keep showing up, whether it's one person or whether it's a number of people who all have the same trait, that you're like, this seriously, is this happening again? Anytime you're like, oh my God, is this happening again? High alert. Yeah, shift that. And if it's some guy named Gary who just is, he has a supernatural ability. Some lady, Diane, who just gets under your skin. No, Diane school, Gary school. Yeah, and so you let yourself be provoked. You let yourself be angry. You let yourself step outside because you're just got to get out of that meeting and like catch your breath and be like, calm down. So you're also, apparently there's something about this. This is too weird. This is too extreme. This is too annoying and irritating. This person has too supernatural of an ability to get into my skin. Yeah, there's some sort of school here. Oh, yeah, this curriculum. And then you wink and you nod at whoever set the curriculum up. Or, as I've talked about before, super advanced player mode, just for the fun of it, is just imagine that all the strangest events of your life is a curriculum that you set up before you came here. And then you smile at your earlier self and you're like, I don't know what you were thinking, but okay, all right, I'll dance. Let's try this. Let's go. The whole thing is a curriculum that you set up before you came here in order to learn something. Oh, yeah. And actually, the most painful events, ultimately, this will transform those as well. Yeah. Especially if you actually let yourself feel it all. It will transform those as well because you will begin to see those in a whole new light. That's what will happen. Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens. So, my friends, yeah, that's a bit. I call it Toyota School. It'd be interesting if there were a room full of us to find out what school you'd go, where you first stumbled into this. Wait, I think the whole thing is more living, more active, more dynamic. I think it's actually in some weird way like showing me like all kinds of things. If I just open my eyes and train my ears a little bit, I pick up a whole other thing happening here. Like it's all in some strange way for me. Yeah, this thing happening to me is weirdly enough for me, and it just requires a slight shift. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that fascinating how the whole thing works? Yeah. There we are, my friends. Episode 367, Toyota School. Peace and love.